Call 1-888-FARMERS to switch, and you could save an average of $470 on your auto insurance. That's a lot of money in just a few minutes. With savings like that, you could be lounging on an impractical amount of ornate and overpriced throw pillows you bought for your couch. But you won't, because you're better with money than that. That's why you're calling us in the first place. Call 1-888-FARMERS to get a quote today.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Based on average nationwide annual savings survey data, July to December 2020, underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Does the perfect family meal exist? We think so. With 9 pieces of crispy, battered, and breaded Popeye's chicken, add in your choice of 2 large mouthwatering sides and top it all off with 4 buttery, flaky biscuits. All for just $19.99. Yep, you heard that right. Just $19.99. That sounds like a perfect family meal to us. So what are you waiting for? Get your Popeye's 9-piece family bundle today. Limited time at select U.S. restaurants. Price participation will vary. In restaurant only. Tax may apply.
Love that chicken from Popeye's.
All right. Welcome to Discovery Paranormal for this March 2nd, 2021. We made it. That's my new view on, hey, we made it. So tonight's show, we have a very special guest on the show tonight. We have Cherie Breeden from Lunar Paranormal, Virginia. And not just that, you do a whole bunch of other stuff, don't you?
Yeah. Yes, I certainly do. And I'm happy to be here. Hello. And I agree. We have made it till March. I like your motto.
We made it.
Yeah, thankfully.
It's been a very challenging time, even you know, for guys like you that go ghost hunting, man, and paranormal investigations, you know, or even like all the other stuff that you do renovations on historical buildings, you have a cat rescue that you help animals and all that. So, but how do you find, are you still doing investigations with all the COVID?
Well, yeah, it does throw a monkey wrench into things, especially doing public events. That's been the biggest problem. That's the biggest avenue for raising funds for like historical preservation and different things like that. And now it's just so limited that we haven't had an event since October, and kind of hoping to come out of that shell here soon with spring. And, you know, the virus apparently might be slowing down. I guess we'll have to see about that. But yes, it really has thrown a monkey wrench into that. Primarily that the public events that we like to cater to, this is very limiting unless you're in a really large, facility or a place that you can practice the social distancing. But it's still just, yeah, it'd be nice for it just to be gone. I know everybody agrees with that.
It's a very difficult phase of our current humanity. This virus is, I don't know, one thing, like in a lab, in a petri dish, it's going to act a certain way. And in person, it acts a different way. You know, and in America, we have resources. We have plenty of money for vaccine and things like that. You know, so, but other countries don't. I mean, other countries are very poor. And then they're going to have a huge time struggling through the vaccine. They're you know, have to be inoculated over and over and over again. The new variants that are coming out. So it's really a global fight, and it's going to go on for a long time. It's something that you're not going to see the end of it. So we all just have to adjust and be smart about it, you know. And when it comes to, I mean, I don't do paranormal investigations anymore. It's been a while, you know. I had a little group. But I think they're all abducted by aliens, man. So that went a whole different direction. they're all gone, you know. Actually, you know what? It's actually sad to say that, you know, a couple of them went different direction with people that I don't really have any respect for. And you know, the paranormal world, you have a lot of charlatans, just people that say they are. It really, really frustrates me. And normally I'm like, okay. You know, you are what you are. You want to say you're this, that's fine. But when you work so hard to try to, you know, get the evidence, you get out there, you're doing, you know, I mean, real paranormal investigations do a lot of hard work, you know, and they do it. They don't get paid. I mean, most of the people I know don't get paid for it, you know, so it's unto themselves. And it's something they want to share with other people. But then you have these others that come along that kind of just, you know, they lie. They misrepresent themselves. And that's the sad part. So, and then you realize that I mean, like the work that I did with those people for 10 years. I mean, we did some cool mm-hmm. stuff, man. We help people out. We help people live mm-hmm. and sleep at night in cases. So, I mean, we collected a lot of great evidence, but then you move on. But you guys have a tighter group, and plus you're more settled, I think, in your area down there in Virginia, right?
Yeah, and I'm kind of more, you know, individualized, and then I branch out with my closest friends or you know, even just other fellow paranormal investigators who share the same interests, depending on, you know, what we're investigating and what type of event we're hosting. And so I've got a pretty good niche here. I mean, I feel like, you know, just with my house, I could investigate probably for the rest of my life and not really complete what, you know, with here at the house. There's so many different things going on with the paranormal just in my home alone. So then when you venture out into, you know, all these other places that you've been investigating and hosting events at, it's endless. It's you know, the paranormal is pretty much everywhere from my experience. So I feel like it's just a never ending, I don't know if you want to call it a hobby, but definitely an interest. And it's challenging too, like you said, getting along with the right people, because there are people out there, like you said, who just flat out make things up and lie about it. And it's very frustrating from my standpoint, because it's the way validation, you know, things that you and I have worked so hard to try to prove or disprove to, you know, the public eye. And then you have people who are just kind of really taking away from that with, you know, the lies and different things that they choose to try to put forward.
You know what? It's paranormal corruption is what it is. You know what I mean? Like and there's also, you know, there's always people that are going to fake something. Always. And you can't hate on people that do that, because they want to just cause some ruckus and hoopla. They're not doing it for any ill intent. They're doing it just for attention, you know. But then the people that are, oh, I'm a medium and you give me $7,000, or, you know, this negativity is going to come get you, these evil spirits. That's the people that I don't like. You know, those people go to jail too for doing stuff like that. So, and I've run into a lot of that. And and I call it paranormal quackery. It really is. Yeah. It's people that are just beneath contempt. But there's people like you who, you know, you guys are, you know, like the grassroots of the paranormal. Like, I see all the mm-hmm. stuff that you do. I mean, you can go to your site, lunarparanormalvirginia.com, and man, there's some cool stuff on there. You got the Miller Kite Museum. That's cool. So all these, like, all just little side links to just mm-hmm. The things that you've done. Fleetwood Church, yeah. Public Ghost. But this is like going back to August 2020. So you're pretty much chugging along for 2020 a little bit. You know.
Yeah, actually, we did quite a few events, and we, like I said, we just modified them. We had to have less participants, which was unfortunate because, of course, they're, you know, fundraisers. But some of them, we even did like more than one event at the same venue, just to kind of make up for the lack of, you know, participants that we were able to accommodate thanks to the virus. So we a little bit to try to just make it work, like you said. Eventually, everybody, unfortunately, we have to assimilate to our new, you know, the new environment we're in with the virus and all the precautions. And we actually did quite a few last year, considering
what's the Barbersville Ruins Part 1 quick introduction into the spirits on a frigid day? What's that all about?
Yeah, that was actually just a quick excursion that my husband and I took, that we were dealing with a kitty cat rescue where we were picking up a kitten. And of course, I'm always thinking of, you know, outside the box of different things and historical places we can check out along the way, because it was, you know, about 40 minutes from our house. And I thought, oh my gosh, Barbersville Ruins, I've heard of it before. You know, I know we're going to be near there. Let's leave a little early and just check it out for a few minutes. Even though it was very cold that day, it was windy and in the 30s, but I'm like, I don't care. I just need to get out. I, you know, I get the paranormal bug where I want to go somewhere and investigate at least, you know, every couple weeks. And So that was kind of my way of getting it out of my system, even though it was freezing. And the ruins there are amazing. I mean, they date back to around 1812. And it was built by Thomas Jefferson's architects and masons. The original structure, you know, was a big family home that mysteriously burned down on Christmas Day in the 1880s. They're not really sure the cause of the fire, but you can see the ruins that are left standing there, which are quite significant and actually shows the, you know, the craftsmanship and how well it was made back then, because most of the structure is still there. So that's what the Barbersville ruins is. And so we just went by for about 15 minutes and just kind of walked around real quick, freezing cold. And I, you know, made a bit of contact in that amount of time. And I'm definitely going to go back there soon and do, you know, a little more of an extensive investigation, some more Q&A with the spirits. And another thing I didn't have the opportunity to check out was the cemetery. It is an old cemetery there that dates back to, you know, when the house was originally built in the early 1800s. And so I'm really anxious to check that out. So there'll be more. There'll be a part two, and it'll be more interesting and less frigid.
There you go. You know, sometimes, I don't know, you know, you get that feeling you have to go in and you know that you're going to have some kind of encounter because you got that feeling, you know. But so aside from the investigations, you know, you do events and all that, you do donate a portion of that to the cat rescue, you know. So what's that all about?
Yeah, I just like take my passions and try to, you know, be able to combine them. And since we're in such a busy world nowadays and time's flying by all the time, and I have a lot on my plate, you know, a lot of good things, of course, but we're really busy. So I'm always trying to condense things and find ways to, you know, get more out of everything. And since we are in the cat rescue, well, I wouldn't say, I hate to say we rescue because we really don't have the capacity to be rescuing cats, but we try to assist situations when they arise, and we have, you know, avenues to, what's the word? We have a lot of connections with other rescue groups that can accommodate anything that comes up. So yeah, I try to combine that with my passion for ghost hunting. And it kind of started a few years ago where we presented ghost hunting to Swannanoa Palace, which that's something that they don't typically promote at Swannanoa Palace. It's just, you know, a really beautiful historic landmark, and they're open to the public for different events and things, but typically they wouldn't cater to that. But when they found out that, hey, you know, this is something we would like to have some of the funding go towards cat rescue groups and different things, it's not just all about the paranormal, it piqued their interest more to realize that, you know, this is not just some ghost hunt, this has a good cause behind it. So that's a motivator too for a lot of places, that, you know, they see that there's more behind it. It's not just your typical ghost hunt. The funds are also going towards, you know, animal rescue, and certain places will have go towards their preservation, of course, historical renovation, different things. And so
it's much more it's much more acceptable these days. You know, I mean, back in the day, when you said that you're a paranormal investigator, people look at you like, oh, ooh, you know what I mean? I mean, there's a much more of an acceptance now than there was, at least. So, and a lot of these people that run these you know, these mansions and these historical places are usually pretty old. They're aged, you know what I mean? And you have to kind of burn through their understanding of what you're all about. Like, you know, I approached one guy and he's like, well, we're not into the occult here, you know, get out of here, boy. Or, you know what I mean? And so it's like, I'm not into the occult either. You're like, oh, you're talking to dead people. Get out of here. You know what I mean? Like they don't want to confront it, you know, but then there's people like, go ahead. I was in Manchester, New York. You know, there was a train accident, went down to a gully, killed, you know, a bunch of people, like 30 people. And so we went on the anniversary, the 99-year anniversary. And then it was a big roundhouse where a 200,000 square foot building, gigantic, where they would take the trains and turn them around and fix trains. I called the town of Manchester and I asked the woman, I'm like, is it okay if we go in there and do a ghost hunt? She's like, sure. Go ahead. She's like, I don't know. She's like, I don't know what you're going to run into. Maybe something more than a ghost, but go ahead. That's
nice.
That's cool. Yeah. At least that there. So yeah, so you do have people that are kind of like, you know, sure, they're much more inclined now to be like, okay, because you're not up to, you know, it's not like you're up to no good. You're in there, you know, doing your thing. So,
yeah. And I think you run into skeptics often who just don't believe in it at all, and they think it's silly, you know. So that's kind of where the cat rescue thing helps, because you get to break the ice with that. If they have an interest in animal rescue, then, you know, like you said, it lets them see you in a light of, hey, I'm not just here to, I'm not a part of it. It's not an occult thing. And, you know, there's more to this. And then oftentimes it opens their minds once they decide, okay, you know, we'll go ahead and have you try it here to do a fundraiser. And they see like, holy cow, this stuff's real. You know, this, they're getting some answers that, you know, that we couldn't have known, upsides or information and different things.
When people get all flipped out on me like that, I was like, you know, when you get upset like that, you upset the spirits and they're gonna follow you home, man. You know what I mean? You know, just kind of let them know they're gonna follow you home. You'll be changing your TV channels. Something's gonna happen. So,
I know.
So what does General Stonewall Jackson really think about slavery? So you have all these videos that people can go to and click. So I'm not going to do it now because we're on the air, but yeah. What did he?
Yeah.
So are you using like an ITC device doing this, or what are you using to get EVPs and such?
Okay. With this, I'm using a typical, just a regular handheld radio that has been modified to continuously scan through the station. So that's all I use for verbal communication. And it's better than like your regular spirit box because it's not loud. It's not programmed. It's not ITC research. It's just a regular, like old radio from the 90s, maybe. And you just open up the back and bend a certain wire to where, or a piece of metal to where it just continuously, it's like you're holding the scan button down. And it works really well.
It's been my experience. All you really need is white noise on the AM level. That's really, really low, low, low level. And man, that works so beautifully, you know. And you know what? Like I have an Olympus, my recorder, you know, digital recorder, and it's a little thing. I paid $80 for it a bunch of years ago. Now you probably can't even find them anymore. They have like new versions, you know. But this thing works so beautifully, and I've recorded conversations between myself and an entity going back and forth, where you can hear them answer basically everything I said, you know. So Yeah, you got to go with what works, right?
Yeah, well, I started off doing EVPs like 10 years ago, and that was about the equipment I had. It was like you said, a little recorder, and I would just sit there and ask questions, and I could hear, you know, answers too. It's of course, more difficult reviewing because they're harder to hear, but I absolutely was, you know, just getting straight up EVPs. So then to have something like this where I'm, you know, really hearing them live, a lifetime, so to speak, not having to play it back to hear everything. Well, some of it you don't understand until you play back, even with the radio.
Right.
But it's interesting being able to hear some of the answers on the spot. And I like to run other equipment at the same time so that there's validation. It's not just, hey, someone could say, well, that was a blip in the radio. Well, we had the lights going on and we have a stick figure and the ghost camera and everything, you know, when everything's coinciding, kind of hard to debate the evidence, in my opinion.
I don't settle for anything anymore. I need to have a full sentence. I want that Class A EVP, or I want to see a full body apparition. I've achieved those goals. You know, I have so much stuff like that. And, you know, to settle for anything less is worse. But you know what's cool about your area down there where you live in Virginia? I got this hobby now that I watch people's trail cam footage, right? And it's, you know, some of it's BS. Some people are trying to just kind of fake it and whatever. Of course, a lot of it's real. And these are people that put trail cams out to just see what, you know, they're hunters or whatever, to see whatever deer around or bear or whatever the hell they got. And man, they've caught some images. And a lot of it's like in your area. They catch these creatures like in the woods and, you know, whatever, stuff with big wings and, you know, have you experienced anything like that?
No, I haven't. I really don't want to.
but now we're talking it up now. You know, if you think about them, they'll follow you home.
Yeah. Well, you know, I tell them how I feel about that and you know, the extraterrestrials. I'm like,
I saw how your husband had an encounter with a snake. And I believe I was like, what's the matter? He didn't do any parcel tongue, like,
really. No thanks. Yeah, that's
how polluted my mind is.
That's a good one, I mean, I hear you.
So you do have snakes. What kind of snakes you got around? You got like rattlesnakes?
Yeah, oh yeah. That big rattlesnake we have in the front yard, that was huge. And of course copperheads are the most predominant in our area. And you know, the good old fashioned black snakes and rat snakes, which they're fine because they keep the rats down and then typically take over territory that, you know, poisonous or venomous snakes could move in on. So I don't really have a problem with snakes, but I don't want venomous ones around my house, that's for sure.
Yeah, they're probably everywhere right now, man. Although, you know what? The worst are I understand the copperheads that are the babies, because they can't control the amount of venom when they bite. You know, so like I guess the adults kind of have an idea of what they can put into something to subdue it. So I don't know. I have friends that are into snakes and poisonous snakes, poisonous frogs. I used to go to this guy's house in Brooklyn, man, and this apartment building, he had like dozens of poisonous snakes and frogs. I was like, dude, like, if the people in this building even had an idea of what you had, they'd go insane. I didn't even like being around. He eventually got busted for exotic pets, selling exotic, you know, snakes and whatever. But geez, man. I mean, whatever happened, cats, I like. Cats are awesome. As you can cuddle with a kitty. You know, you got that sherbet, that cat sherbet. It looks like a cuddle kitty, right? Like a mush. Yeah.
He is. He turned into one. He didn't used to be, but yeah, he is. He's definitely. I have such a passion for cats or any animals, and dogs too, of course, but it's just that they just want to give love, you know, and they want to be loved, and then. They're just, it's unconditional, you know, and you really can't get that from most humans. So I tend to favor the animals more than anything.
Definitely. Me too, you know, because it's pure. It's real and it's pure, you know what I mean? Like, and then, you know, I've done shows on the pineal gland, how, you know, creatures have them, you know, animals have them, we have, and a lot of people believe that that's why people, you know, communicate telepathically, you know, and it's revered thousands of years through history, the pineal gland, you know, so it's just interesting. And then, you know, just recently, in fact, next week's show, I'm going to be talking about Noah, and I just had this this feeling inside, like this guy didn't come from this planet, like the whole story, everything about him. And, you know, ever hear of Project Stargate?
Yeah.
So, you know, it was involving the CIA, and then they have these super psychics and mediums to kind of like map out Mars, places like that, and the moon, and also invade the Soviet Union, like, you know, different, you know, like espionage type of stuff, right? But this is particular to Mars. This guy, Mars, is telling the story about, you know, these pyramids and these big buildings, and then, you know, at one point he actually describes this arc, and he said they went to another planet that was close by, that because there was something wrong with Mars geologically that they had to go, and people there were very tense and they were waiting for a word to come back. You know what I mean? So just if you put these things, you know what got me was the pairs. I was reading, like, so first I watched this stupid movie Noah, which was terrible. It was like all these famous people, and then the whole story just didn't feel right. But it was the pairs of animals.
So I started looking at
Noah, the movie. I think that guy Crow, Robin Crow, was that his name or something? Crow.
So.
Some, no, maybe it's not Robin Crow. I think Robin Crow might be a musician. That guy, the Crow guy, you know. But anyway, I don't want to take up time talking about this because we've got you here. But just basically what got me were the pairs. And then so I started looking at pairs of chromosomes and took a crash course in DNA chromosomes. And all of life on this planet, all of it comes down to A, C, T, and G. And those are the building blocks for DNA, which turns into genes, which turns into proteins, which feed different areas of our body. It's actually a miracle the way everything works. It's an unbelievable system, you know, but all life goes down to A, C, T, and G. So the cat, the dog, the owl, all that, we're all part of the same thing. You know, even the snake, even the rat, even the you got spiders down there, you probably got black widows, right?
Yes. Yeah. I don't respect them. Well, I do respect them, I should say, but I don't cherish them. How many that?
Well, you have a barn. Like, everything that could be alive is in a barn, you know, basically. You know?
Yeah.
All right. So I see you've done this investigation of the 1700s, the Civil War cemetery in back in April of 2020. So, and you got a ghost on camera.
That's what I believe it is, because I don't know what the heck else it is. And I've had a lot of people who are, you know, very seasoned in this field that agree that they can't come up with any other explanation for what that was. It happened so fast, I almost missed it during, you know, my reviewing. And if you watch it in slow motion, I mean, it's just, if you really watch it in slow motion, you'll see it at the tombstone of this gentleman's grave, which is from the 1700s. His name is Jacob Berner, that when it occurs, like, all of a sudden it lights up on the ground in front of his tombstone. It, like, it's just like a light opens up out of the ground, and then this big flash of light comes straight up, you know, out of the ground, straight up into the sky. And you can kind of see, if you watch it in slow motion, as it's passing the tombstone going up to the sky, that it even blurs the trees that are in the background, you know. It's just, I've never seen something like that. And I have a lot of contact with that gentleman. In if you watch the extended video where I'm speaking with him, I ask how he dies, and he explains that he died on a cold night. And you know, he's pretty active and intelligent. So I believe that was him coming out, because I think when it happened, I even said his name. I was addressing him initially, and yeah. I, that's what I think. I mean, I'm always open for anyone's opinion and skepticism, of course. and, you know, I'm not going to say, oh my gosh, I swear it's a ghost, but I don't know what else, you know, could explain what that was.
I don't have a listen to skepticism, because it doesn't come from an area of knowledge. It's one thing, all right, you know, let's say you're in school and you have a teacher and your teacher's teaching you something, and then, you know, you're not assimilating the material. They could be skeptical with what you're doing, you know, or your information, or be discriminatory in your information, whatever, right? But like, for the paranormal, the people that say, oh, it's not a ghost, I don't believe it, whatever, that's not really skepticism. It's more shutting it out. So I don't know. A lot of us don't really, you know, a lot of us don't care what people think.
Yeah.
It sounds a little obnoxious, but.
I finally come to that point, though.
Wow. So that's, I just saw the thing. So what is that? It's not a light.
That's what I'm saying. What is it exactly? That was the first thing somebody said.
No, it's a person.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, outside, because someone said, were you in your car? I'm like, no. I mean, if you watch the full video, you clearly see him walking around the cemetery outside during the day. You know, nothing drives by. There's no weird reflection. It's just a cell phone. You know, I barely even caught it, as you can see. I was moving when it happened. So it was very lucky that I caught that. I truly believe that's what it is. And I don't know what else to think, you know, think it could be. I mean, I'm always open for any ideas or suggestions.
It's a person. I could see their coat. They're wearing a long coat. They were close to you. They were between you and the grave.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the grave. The headstone obscures. It turns gray for a moment. So something with a head is walking in between you and that. It's a coat, and they're tall. I can see them.
Yep.
Wow, look at that.
You have a good eye. I've noticed that with you, you know, in the past, mentioning things that I've posted. Absolutely. I believe it's Jacob. And that's not the first time I've had contact with him there. I've been there before. And he's like my, you know, the dominant ghost for me when I go there. he dominates definitely in a good way, of course. I was really very pleased with that crutch. And to jump back to what General Jackson, apparently General Jackson, who I have had numerous times of making contact with him, and I believe it is him, but he said that his take on what he thought about slavery was that he didn't think it was a good thing. And actually, this is a fact in history, that he did illegally educate a lot of the slaves during that time, because he felt that they should be educated, especially about Christianity. So he expressed that he was against slavery and that he really didn't think it was right. That's what he said. Now, you know, that's me speaking with a spirit. I got on video. Maybe it's some other spirit pretending to be him, but I have had numerous contact with him on many occasions, and other investigators who've accompanied me agree that they feel like it's definitely him, and some of the historians that, you know, we're dealing with here feel the same way. So anyway, I went back and answered that question.
how far are you from Gettysburg? About 3 hours?
Yeah, I'd love to go there. The whole time constraint thing and having lots of animals is the thing that's holding me back, but I think Gettysburg would be, you know, quite interesting to investigate. Have you been there?
Oh, yeah, when I was young, you know. Also, Valley Forge. Valley Forge is the real creepy place. I mean, Gettysburg, you had the big battles, and a lot of people died, and you're going to have that energy there. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, people who aren't even paranormal investigators take pictures and see full-body apparitions running around, you know, and much of it's intelligent contact. So it's not just kind of, you know, magnetic dips, you know, running around. But now, like Valley Forge, I'm a believer that the bigger and heavier the episode and the energy, the more suffering, especially, the more you're going to have that intense imprint, and also, you know, the possibility of a lot of paranormal activity, especially, you know. So Valley Forge was the big one, because they ate men. They ate people. They ran out of food. Yeah. You know, even George Washington himself ate people and commented on it. I mean, and that they don't try to hide it. In history, they don't like to talk about it, but, you know, I guess it's one of the horrors of war type of thing, right? But apparently he developed a taste, you know, not just like had to eat it, but like, you know, was kind of fun, which is interesting. So I think to go there and do an investigation would be something extraordinary, you know, and I haven't done that. I'm actually talking to a lot of the other hosts here on the network. A lot of us live kind of in the sort of the area, sort of, you know, some of them are in Canada, but like we could all go down Valley Forge or Gettysburg and do something. But right now with COVID, no one's really doing much of anything, you know?
Yeah. Well, I have to say George Washington, I'm a huge fan of him, and it is on my bucket list. Like, I would love to be able to investigate Mount Vernon. And I truly feel that I would have contact with him and, you know, get legitimate information from him. So I find that really interesting, what you're saying about Valley Forge, because that would be totally up my alley as well. And there are Revolutionary War spirits around here, of course. I've encountered and a few haunted hiking type of things that we've done. We had contact with Revolutionary War spirits a few times that were talking about, like, they were engaging in the war at that moment. And so it's very interesting. I think Valley Forge would be, you know, amazing, like you're saying. Absolutely.
I think a lot of them get you know, lost in the confusion. You know, we've run into the spirits that said they weren't dead. You know, they're like, I'm not dead. You know, so when you ask them, how did you die? I'm not dead. So that we kind of, like, you know, Pete and I looked at each other and laughed, like, a bit, but, you know, like, nervous laughter, like, damn, you know. But, you know, and then also, you know, we run into spirits in the house that didn't even know each other, that weren't aware that each other was there. So, you know, so maybe it's, like, compartmentalized in a bit, but many of them see life of how it was and not how it is now.
That's true. There's, like, so many variations of what spirits are doing or why they're there or what they're experiencing or what they're seeing. I totally agree with that, because I've done a lot of, like, cross-examination with ones at my house. And, you know, we have ones up on the hill that are buried that are from 1700s. So I've kind of asked them, like, do you know these other ones over here that are from 1850? You know, like, you all know that you exist, you know, each other. And some of them have acknowledged, yes, I know that they're buried up there on the hill. But then, like you said, in certain circumstances, you'll have spirits that are just compartmentalized. Exactly. They're in their own box, so to speak, and their own world. And a lot of times they might be residual, I think, too, where they're just kind of reliving something over and over again. I agree with you. Yeah.
If we can interact with them, they can't interact with each other. But if we can interact with all of them, it makes us kind of like a hub. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the whole, it's like, so, I mean, an energy doesn't die, it transfers, it goes on. And then scientists have proven the multiverse, for instance, you know, so there's levels and levels and levels of planes, you know, but why are they there? Why are they hanging around? I mean, you know, we just classify them as one of three, you know, earthbound. They don't move on. They won't move on, you know, for whatever reason, could be any reason, you know, could be just static, some magnetic imprint, you know, of just something that happens every day over and over and over again, but it's non-intelligent. It's just an image. And then, you know, visitations where they kind of come and visit and they go, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I get a lot of intelligent, you know, communication. 99% of the time what I'm encountering is intelligent spirits. And most of them have revealed to me that they're here to visit. They're just here visiting. And then there are some that are here all the time. Like one of them, well, a couple in my house are here all the time. One of them, you know, he expressed that he took his own life, you know, like 40, well, gosh, time's flying by, I guess more like 60 years ago, while he was living here. And it coincided with other evidence I'd picked up previously about someone hanging themselves in our barn. And it turns out that the spirit told me that was him. So he's here all the time. But like you said, there's other ones. There's a woman here in my house. She just comes to visit, and she says she's visiting from heaven. So, you know, like you said, it's a lot of different scenarios with spirits. It's interesting. I like being able to extract historical information and, you know, stuff that people didn't know otherwise or that you can prove afterwards. Like, hey, you know, we found this out. And,
it's nice to call out to names. You know, if you have that person's name and then they realize you're actually there for them, because that's kind of how it is. You got to break the ice and kind of build that bridge and say, hey, we're here for you. So they understand that and then understand why you want to talk to them in the first place, you know, but then why they're there. I mean, the guy who hung himself probably just has all kinds of internal struggles. You know, I had this guy on the show who did, past life. You know, I mean, he'll go back in people's past lives and do regression. And he said plainly, people carry their problems over from life to life. It's not like you're going to kill yourself and think your problems are going to go away. You know, it just kind of compounds it. And then when you come back again, it's the same deal. So I think people need to confront those problems. But if the guy hung himself, he probably doesn't want to move on because of his torment.
Yeah, and he's like really dominant in my house. He's actually a good spirit, and he says he enjoys my company. And I've spoken with him quite a bit about it all. And yeah, and he definitely was not treated right by people. And you know, his name is David. And the interesting part is, in one of our old buildings, they're written on the wall. It says David sucks. I've asked, is that, you know, was that about you? And he said yes. So
it was probably,
you know,
him that,
I don't know.
It was probably him that did it. You know what I mean? He sounds like a self-hater. You know those haters, man. You know what? There are people that do that to themselves. And then also look at suicide to begin with, you know, and no matter who. I mean, look at Chris Cornell killed himself. You know, you think the guy was a great singer and from a great band, Soundgarden, other stuff he did. And then, boom, there he goes off a concert and hangs himself in a hotel room. You know?
Yeah. You never can predict it.
I know people trying to get in there. Look at the ghouls, man. The ghouls trying to get in. Is that ghoulish, though? Is it wrong to do?
Say that again. Is there what?
Is it wrong to do? I know people trying to get into where Chris Cornell had committed suicide and, you know, and do the room like you know, paranormal investigators. I mean, is that wrong to do? Like, or is there a grace period?
I mean, I think there should be a grace period out of respect for family or, you know, that type of situation. But as far as someone dying and being able to communicate, I have learned that it doesn't seem to matter how long you wait. They can typically communicate soon after they've passed.
It was at the MGM Grand Hotel room, 1136, man. MGM Grand. I think it was Detroit. Wasn't it Detroit? Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was.
Or is it? Room 1136. You know, I don't know. That's what it says.
I'll see where that we're drawing this from the paranormal people. I'm kind of more into, like, I don't usually like going to places that involve something so negative, like insane asylums and, you know, different things. I mean, I'm not saying I wouldn't go, but I'm more into, like, just really historical locations. And actually, it's ironic that you would mention those, the battlefield thing, because I'm not going to say which battlefield right now until after we do it, but we are planning on doing a casual daytime, you know, picnicking and doing some really good investigating of a local battlefield here coming up. As soon as we get a little less damp weather in the next few weeks, we're going to pursue that. And I'm really interested to see, you know, what comes up with that. The one time we pulled over just to look at the little brochure thing on the side of the road pertaining to this battlefield, I instantly had communication with a soldier who was telling me that he was hiding out in the field at 2 o'clock. And he even told me his name and everything. And we were only there for 5 minutes. So, excuse me. So I'm, you know, really anxious to see what we'll get in, you know, a few hours of time spending, so, out, you know.
So who are the members of your team, man? Like, when, what do they do?
Lately, it's not really much of a team. It's because, you know, I've been doing more individual things, and I've had a lot of, like, solo investigations and whatnot. But when we do get together, I mean, a good friend of mine, Danielle Walker, who I've known forever, over 20 years, she's one of the team members that helps out quite a bit. She's really good at just thinking outside the box, different ideas of, you know, hey, why don't we set up this recorder up here in this room while we're doing this down there? And she's more, you know, the innovative team member. And she's great, too, with participants and socializing and just thinking of, like, things to do for the participants. And my husband, of course, helps a lot. He's more of the behind-the-scenes equipment person.
Yeah, he's the techie guy. You say he builds a lot of equipment and such.
Well, he doesn't build it, no, but he definitely helps, you know, just operate everything so that
no, he builds it. He builds it, man, like Radio Shack guy builds it, right? I know people that build stuff. You know what? It's cool to be in electronics. You don't need to be in electronics to you know, register on this equipment, have intelligent contact and that type of stuff. But, and he definitely doesn't speak parcel tongue, which is a big disappointment. You know, I thought everybody down there did. Come on, man. Land of Snakes. That'd be my second language. Saya. turn that snake around. So, you have, like, classes, though. You do, like, paranormal investigation classes, right?
Yeah, I've hosted a few of those, too.
Oh, you did?
And those are fun. Hmm?
You did? I don't know about now. So what kind of people turn out for the paranormal classes?
Really? I mean, so the same type of people that show up to the events that are interested and have had experiences or have already done some investigating. And they're just, you know, a lot of them, I think the location where I hold the classes that draws me to it as well, not just the class itself. And we're typically surprised, at least I hope they are, because we end up, you know, a lot of activity and it kind of just turns into a ghost hunt, basically. But right. I'm explaining everything as we go along. You know, different things like advice, you know, my best advice would be for people trying to communicate is don't try so hard. People are trying way too hard, and like their expectations, like when I'm communicating, I mindlessly do it, if that makes any sense. Like, I don't mean mindlessly, like there's no thought put into it. I just mean that I don't sit there and think ahead of time, like, oh, I've got to get in touch with the spirit, is it going to answer me? I just do it. Like, I just, like, you know, it's like I can do it with my hands tied behind my back. It just, I don't know, I'm trying to, like, it's like a frame of mind. You got to get in the zone. But if you think about it too hard, it's just not going to happen.
That's right. You know what? That makes sense for a lot of things in life. That's for sure. So people can find you at lunarparanormalvirginia.com, and they can see all those videos, all kinds of cool stuff on there. They can contact you. If people want to donate for the kitties, they, you know, because your events are down, so, you know, probably the money's down, safe to say. So if people, if they can go on, click contact us, and they can find you on there if they want to donate to the kitties, right?
Yes, yeah, we have Elkton Cat, which is our page on Facebook also, and we do, you know, we're constantly feeding colonies and helping cats in our area locally, and certainly would appreciate any food or funding for food or veterinary care would be wonderful. I appreciate you mentioning that, definitely. And yeah, and of course, Lunar Paranormal of Virginia is also on Facebook, but my website will point you in the right direction as well. So,
yeah, you know? I miss my cats, man. You know, it's kind of weird not having a pet right now, but you know what I mean? But it's like, it is, well, you know, when they go, it's hard. It's hard, man. It's very, 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 very hard. But then you think that, you know, if you have the love and you have the place, it's nice to open up your home to a pet, because, you know, even though you lost a pet, it was very painful, but that new one's going to appreciate where it lives and the love you're going to give, and they're going to give love back to you. So, you know, it just takes time, I guess, you know?
Well, and there's so many in need, and they really do need an adjustment period. A lot of people get a pet, and then a few days later, like, I don't want this. And it's like, you know, give them a few weeks. It takes them a while. And my biggest advice is please get your pets neutered and spayed. That's the biggest problem is, you know, that there's so many animals that are reproducing. And so just have them neutered and spayed.
Yeah,
and
humans. Start with people. Yeah. They work.
I agree.
Work your way down. You know what I mean? We got to get some control going on here. All right. Yeah, we're going to end the show. Okay, Cherie, okay. Thank you for coming on. And people can find your Lunar Paranormal. They're going to go out there looking for you, man. And then, you know what? We'll adjust to all this. I mean, I haven't done an investigation in a long time. I also considered going rogue, going in by myself into a place and look around, whatever. So it is what it is. But even if people do that, you got to be real careful, because you never know. It may not be a ghost you encounter. It might be anything, right?
Yeah, I typically stay away from abandoned places for that reason. So I like a more stressful situation.
Yeah, definitely. But thank you. Yeah. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed it, and I look forward to seeing you around on Facebook and listen to your show more.
Yep, we're out there. I'll post a link as soon as we're done with this. So, all right, guys, this is Mike Langley and Cherie on Discovery Paranormal, you know, on United Public Radio Network, UPRNTalkRadio.com, 107.5 New Orleans, 104.7 Pastor Chan, and 181 countries around the world. I will see you guys next week on this year's show. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Me, but also you. The Pharaoh fast-forwards his favorite foreign film, Powder Donut. Okay, what's my line?
The only line I see here on the script is get options based on your budget with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive.
Oh, man, that's a tongue twister, huh? I'm sorry, I'm going to need a few more minutes. Bulbous Walrus, the Bulbous Walrus.
The Name Your Price tool, only from Progressive.
The owl ran afoul of the comatose coxswain.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Community Coffee, we've been making great-tasting coffee for over 100 years. But what makes us different isn't just how long we've been around. It's how far we're willing to go in pursuit of the perfect cup. We select only the finest beans and use over 4 generations of family roasting experience to give you the richest, most delicious coffee around. Find Community Coffee at your local grocery store or visit communitycoffee.com to order some today.